KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mary Castro. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
First Lady's Focus is brought to you in part by Educational Employees Credit Union, smarter banking since 1934. We're excited to have another very special guest with us today, and as always, I'll let you make the introductions.
Well, Julie, we are so excited this morning to have Ms. Paulus Castadio. She is our new Vice President for University Advancement. She started here at the campus on August 1st. Thank you, Paula, for coming in this morning.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Very nice to meet you.
Well, you hit the ground running August 1st. That doesn't give you much time between finding your way around campus and then all of the students descending on campus. So sometimes I feel like when I'm going from one end of the campus to the other, like spawn, you know, salmon spawning. And I'm just like, I just get in the flow with the kids and wherever they're going, I go. And then I just like hop off the river, you know. But you will find that if you get lost, students are so helpful with help, you know, trying to redirect you and get you where you need to go. So if you end up in that situation, I know you've already got a pretty good lay of the land.
Well, don't count on that, okay? This is a big campus, and there's a lot of great things going on here. And actually, I have yet to find all my staff people their offices.
Oh,
I found all the major ones, but there's I have staff tucked away in other small spaces.
Is that by design?
No, not at all. But I've obviously got a visit with them, and I've had the full staff together on many occasions. But I got to go to their pads and check them out. So
like 70 staff members.
There's about 75.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's a nice large team of dynamic people. So it's been a fun 2 months. I'm just now hitting, I think, my 2 month mark.
Wonderful. Well, I have heard a positive response to the fact that you are the type of person who goes out there. You make the extra effort to, you're not hiding in your office,
right?
Which would not be good for a vice president of advancement, but that you actually make that effort to go out and to meet your development officers and other people that work in advancement and to get to know them, I guess, in their natural environment in each school.
Right.
Because, you know, each school has different challenges.
Absolutely.
And different relationships with people who support that school and that focus. And so I think it's very important for you to do that.
You have to learn a lot of stories.
Well, and I think one of my main missions was to make sure that I go and meet with each dean personally so
Wonderful.
That I could learn about their college and hear what their vision is. Mm-hmm. And so that was just a great way, I think, for me to get immersed.
Yes.
And then I would follow it by meeting with their development director to then, you know, find out about them and what's on their mind. And so it was just great. And then I could package it together, start putting the puzzle pieces together.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm starting to get it. I feel like I'm making some headway. So.
That's great. Well, you came to us from Valley PBS, and you were there for over 20 years, correct?
Yes, 21 years.
Tell us about the different roles that you served there, just briefly.
I will. Yeah, you bet.
Because we're so happy to have you here. I want to talk about the great things you're doing on our campus.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. I'm excited. Well, 21 years, I really was the development director. So I was in charge of the development team for many, many years. And then I became the station manager and did that for about 4 years. And then 11 years as the CEO.
Wow.
And I was just at the right place at the right time, hadn't burned any bridges and was doing some good work, I guess. So I was able to step into that role. So it was exciting. And then I was on the National PBS board too. And I think all combined, my career was just amazing at PBS.
And how do you feel that experience translates into what you're doing here for us?
Well, to me, it's the perfect segue to come here. This is a larger stage, you know, I think in television terms. So I've come now to a bigger stage. And but really, alumni, you know, I oversee the Alumni Association, and to me, alumni are like donors, you know, that supported the station.
Mm-hmm.
The development aspect that I oversee is fundraising, and that's been my whole career. I've always been in development. And then the communications piece is what I did as far as television and media and online web work and so forth. So to me, it just was a great transition from PBS, a great platform to launch me here at Fresno State.
Wonderful. and you're a Fresno State alumna. You received your bachelor's degree in speech communication from Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go back to the beginning, though. You were born in Dayton, Ohio, and then your family came across the country to Atwater. Your dad was in the military, and he was in the Air Force. And tell us what your experience was like growing up in Atwater.
You know what? Atwater was probably the best place at that time for a kid to grow up because of the military base. The kids came from all over the country, and it was a very diverse population. Great kids with good families. And so I just love the diversity of it. Looking back now, I can really appreciate where I grew up.
Did you live on the base? Or
I didn't live on the base, no. Just in the community. But again, it's a very small community.
It was pretty much like base housing.
Just simple, and everybody knew everybody. I don't think there were any lights, you know, any street lights at the time. There certainly wasn't any fast food restaurants there are today. It's growing and growing. But it was just a great experience. So I think I love the Valley. I'm a Valley girl.
I love that. Yes. And that's what excites us about having you as part of our team, because you get it. You understand this is your home, and you have that extra vested interest in what happens here and in what happens to the kids in the Valley. You know, something that President Castro and I, when we talk to kids in the elementary schools or junior high or anywhere, is just tell them, you know, we sat in the same desks. We know what it feels like to grow up here, and we don't want you to have any limits on your dreams. Whatever you feel like you want to do or you want to try to do, Fresno State can be a part of that, and we want to be a part of helping you to reach that. And I think that the best thing for kids is to let them know that don't let anybody underestimate you. Your potential is much bigger than you can even imagine.
That's right.
And there are people beyond your immediate family who are interested and really want to see you succeed.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome point, because sometimes, you know, we put ceilings on children, and we don't need to do that. Our children can reach for the stars, right?
Right.
And especially here in the Valley, we need to lift up our children and make sure that they have a quality education so that they can give back to the Valley, make this a better, stronger place to
live. That's it. Does Atwater have a system with just one high school? Do all the elementaries feed into one high school at the time that you went there?
At the time, yes. Yes, there's another high school today. But at the time, we were all in the same zone. But my graduating class had 400 people in it. So it was a large graduating class.
What is the mascot for Atwater High School?
The Falcon.
The Falcon.
Yes.
And tell me about your high school experience. What type of activities were you involved in?
Well, I played volleyball. I think I cheered one year because I did Pop Warner, whatever, this, you know, Pop Warner kind of cheerleading.
Oh, your freshman year?
Yeah, and I cheered my freshman year, and then I was like, my voice wouldn't hold out. So I went the volleyball route, and I played volleyball then the rest of high school, and I was on the golf team.
Wow.
And I was not a good golfer, but I think the guys just liked me to travel with them in the van, and I had a ball, so I would practice with them and play, and I come from a golfing family, and I don't golf today, though.
Oh.
You know, people ask me all the time, do you want to golf? I'd rather go shopping or read a book or something like that.
So when you say you come from a golfing family, both of your parents?
Both parents golf. My husband golfs, my brother golfs, everybody, my sister's golf. Everybody golfs.
But you've escaped it. You
well, I just, finding the time, you know, Mary, the time is so precious. So.
Yeah, somebody yesterday said, if we could add another 8 hours to the calendar, you
exactly.
know, every day. I said, no, please don't, because that will be booked, and then they'll be trying to figure out a way to add another 8 hours.
Right.
Like, let's just keep it as it is, and we just make it through 24 and keep going.
Exactly. Well, and I'm competitive, too, so, yes. you know, so I go out there and I compete with myself, and that's not fun. You know, I'd rather do something that's less stressful. So,
right. Yeah. Do you enjoy playing on team sports more than doing
team sports? I enjoy much more than you know, making sure that, well, you know, golf is so unpredictable. It's a tough sport because it's got to all click.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I didn't really click. So
to me, it looks like a stressful sport because, you know, the type of things that I played growing up were volleyball, softball, you know, hit the ball as hard as you
can.
You know, type of thing. And Joe tried to teach me how to play tennis one time. And we agreed that we would never do that. In order for us to be together, we would never play tennis together, because Kings River Elementary School over on Excelsior by Hanford had the best tennis courts, he said. And so he would drive out there from Hanford to play on those courts. Well, when we started dating, that school's actually close to where I lived. And he, you know, was telling me he was on the tennis team and all this. He was going to teach me, and anybody could learn tennis until he saw me play. Because I, you know, softball, it was like batter up, and the right. poor guy, he was chasing the ball. He had to keep leaving the court to get the ball. And I think after about the eighth time of him chasing it, he goes, you know, I think we need to do something else.
That's a great story.
So, if you enjoy volleyball, we have a fantastic volleyball team, and their season's already kicked off, so you'll have to make sure.
They are fun to watch.
Yes.
They are really, and volleyball today is so different from how we played back then, so
right.
it's really exciting.
You know, when we watch it, we're able to see it from a kind of a bird's eye view, and it's so well choreographed, the moves. It's much more technical and precise than when I played in high school.
Yeah, you know? And yet it's fluid, you know,
right.
It's really fluid, so it's cool.
And our athletes are real strong, so, you know, I hope that the public will come out and see more of our women's volleyball games. They're at the Save Mart Center. They're real comfortable. It's a lot of fun. It's a great activity to take little kids to, because then they get a chance. It's not a huge crowd that's intimidating, but then it exposes them to collegiate sports, and it also supports our team.
Yeah, I agree.
So you have an older brother. His name is Scott. And then you have two younger sisters. You have had a blended family, and you said that was a very positive experience for you growing up. Tell us about that.
Actually, yeah, it was. My parents got divorced when I was 8, and my stepfather, his daughter came into the mix, and they then had a child together, my other sister, Corey.
Uh-huh.
So I got Corey, Michelle, and then my brother from my dad and my mom. Uh-huh. But anyway, all together, the interesting thing about it is that my mom always included my dad at holidays.
Wow.
And so for my entire childhood and even my adult life today, my dad is invited to holiday gatherings. And
so there wasn't an either or.
No,
everybody was together.
No. And at one point, you know, my dad remarried. He's now divorced a second time, but he would come with his wife too, and we were just all
awesome.
Together. So
that's great.
You know, no fighting, no picking on the other spouse.
Uh-huh.
They just really focused on their kids.
Oh, I love
were really
that.
Fortunate.
I love that. Now, you said that your younger sister Corey, she's a winemaker in Napa.
Yes.
How fun is that? Do you get
I
to
know.
Go up and sample the goods?
Well, you know, we do. Corey graduated from here, from the enology program. And
perfect.
That's what set her up really for her career. And she's had a beautiful career. So she's worked in champagne and she's worked in wine industry, et cetera. But it was all from
Good
Fresno
for her.
State. And she's got a great palate, so she can test wines, you know, and know very clearly what it's telling us, right?
Yes.
So, and Fresno State has some beautiful wines.
Oh, yes. And I love that I met a winemaker who had graduated from our program and has her own winery over on the coast. And we had dinner with her, and the restaurant where we went, she ordered a bottle of her own wine, and it was the last bottle from several years back. And she said, oh, I haven't had this in a while. And when she opened it, with the way she smelled it, and then she was just letting it roll around on her tongue, and she was telling us, oh, it's got this, this, and that. And I'm tasting it, and I'm going, wow. You know, I felt like such an underachiever of a wine drinker. But you know, it was fun to watch someone who had followed the grapes from the field through the whole process and appreciated it like that. Is your sister like that? Does she just love the whole process of making wine?
Yeah, she really does. And she blends her own wine. So she knows,
oh,
you know,
great.
Now, you know, how to take the grape from our fields and, and you know, basically come up with the best blend of wine. So
that's great.
And I think she's got one of her own labels, too. So
oh my
yeah, I'm
goodness.
Pretty proud of her.
It's an art form, and it's fun to watch the pros do what they do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So when you were in high school, you told me something about you were wearing a crown at some point.
I don't normally tell anybody this. Dang it. I was homecoming queen. Yeah, I was really honored to be homecoming queen.
I love that. And especially in such a big class. I mean, you really had to get out the vote, huh?
Well, I did enjoy everybody. I am a social being, so, you know, that's now, why I'm in fundraising, I think.
Yeah. Do you have photos of that? Because, you know, we do. Oh, lovely, because we put up pictures during the show to share with our listeners so that they can see. If you can find a picture of that, I think that would be beautiful.
I have a newspaper clipping or something.
Oh, wonderful.
I think maybe I could track that down.
We'll put that up on the Facebook page.
All right.
So what made you choose Fresno State when you wanted to go to college?
Well, this was the big city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
think about it. You know, coming here, I hadn't really traveled. My family didn't travel much. You know, we hunkered down in Atwater. And and so coming to Fresno was really coming to the big city.
Uh-huh.
And I was in awe of this place. And my brother came here first.
Okay.
And I also wanted to follow my brother and be near, you know, him. I knew I'd feel safe and,
yes.
you know, be supported uh-huh. by him. And so I followed in his footsteps and landed here. And then I landed at Delta Gamma, too. I mean, my sorority experience here was really special. You know,
wonderful.
I think that played a really big part of my life and at Fresno State.
And you still have close relationships with sorority sisters
Absolutely.
That you met during that time, too.
Absolutely. A whole handful of them. That, and my little sister, of course, is the greatest. So,
oh, that's
yeah.
great. So tell us about your experience when you were here at Fresno State. When you did you start off in communications and stay with it the whole time, or did you have any period where you switched majors? How did you end up knowing that that's was a good fit for you?
Well, okay, so I'm going to be really honest, but I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do in college,
mm-hmm.
as many kids don't, you know, necessarily
right.
know. And so I flipped through the catalog and I looked for the easiest major.
what you thought,
I thought
would be
the easiest major, right? Uh-huh. But also a major that played to my strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I was social, I was comfortable public speaking, I chose speech communication. And I really didn't know what it would prepare me for, but it actually was the perfect college education for what I ultimately ended up landing, which is a mm-hmm. public broadcasting career. But
it, yes.
but regardless of that, whether I'd ended up in television, radio, mm-hmm. It would have prepped me for any job, because speech communication gives you the ability to present yourself.
Right.
And to be persuasive and mm-hmm. to tell your own story. And so, you know, I going into it, didn't know the value.
Right.
But going
but even
through,
at that young age, you instinctively knew.
That's
you know,
what
you
I was
may
gonna
have
say.
Not thought it through, but your gut kind of knew.
Your instinct said, you know, I like doing this. I feel comfortable speaking in front of people. I feel comfortable like putting myself out there, trying new things.
That's right.
And that was, kind of paired you up.
That's right.
I always so laugh when people
perfect.
Say they chose the easiest one, because you're not the first one. There have been other
really?
People
oh,
with other majors who said, I chose what I thought was the easiest one. But then when they started taking it, it you know,
yeah.
it was challenging.
Well, it was a lot of writing. It was a lot of present, you know, crafting a message, a lot of stand-up presentations.
And that's very intimidating
so
for a lot of people.
When you think about it, what's easy for one person is mm-hmm. completely different than another. Some people,
that's
public
true.
Speaking, forget it. They'd rather
right.
just know.
right, right.
Did you have a professor or professors that stood out during the time you were here at Fresno State?
I think Kathy Bray, and she's still here today, and I've got to track
oh,
her down
wonderful.
And say hello, but she definitely made an impact at that time. We actually house sat for her at one point, a couple of our students, when she was out of town, which was wonderful.
That's a lot of trust.
Yeah, she did. She trusted.
Turn over your house to a bunch of college students.
Yeah, just, we were good kids. But yeah, so I would say Kathy, and there were so many others. There mm-hmm. were so many others. I can't remember everybody's names, but that she stands out.
Were you involved in any other clubs other than the sorority, or were you so involved in the sorority that there wasn't time for anything else?
I was mostly uh-huh. the sorority. Yeah, not as much other campus involvement.
Did you
speech
go,
club? I mean, I did some things within our own division.
Uh-huh.
But not much more than that.
Did you go back and forth to Atwater, or would you stay mostly here in Fresno? Once you started classes, did you like move here and this became your home?
Well, I went home for a couple summers. I would go home at summer because my whole high school, all through high school, and then my first couple of summers in college, I worked at a peach manufacturing plant.
Oh, yes.
And I would go home and work on the line, tipping peaches to throw out the peaches with the bad blemishes. And, and that's how I made my money to
I
pay
love
for
that.
My school.
So you can tell people that you're working at the number one ag school and you're,
you
had your hands deep in the peaches.
I understand the value of hard work. That is for sure. Yeah.
Well, you know, Joe and I just recently did a tour of the Wawona factory that is out in Clovis. And just seeing how technology has changed. I remember when my mom and my aunts would be processing peaches and how pretty basic it was, you know. Mm-hmm. And now the high tech systems that are used to make sure that the quality of the fruit, the size of the fruit, the, you know, it is just amazing. So to be a part of our campus and to get to see how technology and with our new Jordan School that's going to be built, I think that the future for our students in technology, blending technology with agriculture, there are going to be so many opportunities for them.
Absolutely. I mean, that and that is in perfect alignment with the engineering school.
Yes.
I mean, it, you know, today, like you said, everything is much more automated.
Mm-hmm.
So enhancing the ability to do that for companies, I'm sure saves, you know, the bottom line.
Right, right. And so tell us about your husband is Richard. Tell us how you met. We have to hear the love story.
Okay, well. Well, should I say this on radio? I met him at a bar. Actually, good old Black Angus.
Oh, wow.
So right across the street.
I was going to say, that's not far from here.
No, no, no. We, you know, I was in my senior year of college, and I actually met him on my 21st birthday.
Oh.
I know. Yes. It's kind of a sweet story. I met him at 1:45.
Were you with a group of friends or solo?
No, of course I wasn't the loner in the bar. I was with a group of friends.
Right before closing time, right?
Right. Yeah. We were there all night and having a really great time. And I saw him on the dance floor.
Oh.
And
could he dance?
And he's a great dancer. But he was dancing with somebody. And all of a sudden, she sort of pushed him away.
Oh.
And he walked right up to me and said, "Would you like to dance?" And
wow.
And come to find out, we had met a year before.
Uh-huh.
And he remembered my name, and I remembered the moment when I met him, and I remember looking for him afterward, but couldn't find him. He had already left, and he said that he had looked me up in the phone book, but he had my name wrong, my last name a little crooked.
Oh.
And so here it was a year later, and he saw me in the bar, and we just connected and danced for 15 more minutes.
Uh-huh. And then the lights started flickering.
And then the lights flickered, and that was that. No, and then it took him about a week and a half to call me, and I was so upset.
That's
long
time.
I know. I told my mom the next day I would marry that man tomorrow if he asked me.
Oh, wow. How sweet.
And then it took a week and a half for him to call me, but he had a girlfriend, apparently, and then he broke up
with
her.
Is that the one who had pushed him away on the dance floor?
No, he was just dancing. I don't know.
Oh,
I got to go
goodness.
Back and get the backstory. But yeah, no, it was another gal he was dating in the Bay Area, and so he broke up with her, and then he called me. So
well, I like that. He will only date one
girl
at
a time.
Yeah, good policy.
Yeah.
That's a husband.
Yeah, and exactly. And then we got engaged 6 months later, and we got married a year and a half after that, and we've been married now 25 years.
Oh, I love that. That's wonderful. Well, both you and Richard are very athletic people. Tell us about, like, what type of things do you like to do on the weekends?
Well, my athletic extent is yoga. I mean, I love yoga. It's the thing that I think makes me grounded, you know. So
wonderful.
Finding time for that is really wonderful. Richard, of course, golfs. He golfs every weekend and enjoys that. I walk the dog every day before I come to work. So that's my morning peaceful time.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoy that very much. And then he and I together, we just enjoy each other so much. So it could be anything, really.
Well, you seem, when we've had dinner with both of you, you just seem like best friends. Best friends that are married. And I love that when I meet a couple that has that, you know, because that's been our experience. And it's just... I think it's so much more fun to go through life when you get to be with your best friend.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well said. I mean, I think marriage takes a lot of work.
It
and
does.
We've worked at it, but we are so compatible, like you're saying. And we talk openly, honestly about our feelings. And it's just helped us, I think, have a really strong relationship.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what do you enjoy about working in advancement? What is it that makes you excited to come to work every day, and especially here at Fresno State?
I think the challenge. I think the challenge really of connecting with our community, bringing the community in, is really important to Fresno State, but also to me. And I think that's part of what drew me to this opportunity to find those interconnections with our community benefit organizations, with our leaders in our community, connecting, taking our wonderful faculty and their expertise and making sure that they shine out in the community.
Oh, yes.
You know, just so that there's this back and forth in which we all feel like we're a part of Fresno State. So that's one thing that really sort of excites me about the job. The challenge also, too, to just grow advancement, you know, from a philanthropic point of view. My whole life has been in philanthropy. And I was thinking before this show, I thought, well, gosh, if she asked me what my passion is, it's actually philanthropy. You know, it's encouraging people to realize how important it is to support our community. And it takes a very special person to reach into their pocket and decide to give to something that they believe in. But when you do, you feel so good about it. And so I'm excited to be here at Fresno State to encourage people to do that. There are some amazing programs and ways in which we affect our students' lives, helping them be successful beyond Fresno State. And I just think that's so essential. So,
and I think that, you know, when you say beyond Fresno State, the connection that you have with the alumni base, we have over 200,000 alums that are still connected, pretty much live in the area. And then we have many that are spread throughout the country and the world. What do you think is important in helping the people who are not in our immediate area to reconnect with our campus?
That's a good question. I think personally, I think it needs to be sort of organic, you know, that people all over the country, if we just inspire them to start getting together, let them get together loosely, let them define how they want to be connected, but they all have Fresno State in common. And I just had my first experience with a Fresno State event at an individual's home who hosted it in Los Angeles, Southern California. And the folks that were there loved connecting about Fresno State, telling their story and Fresno State helped them get to where they are today. And so I thought it was amazing. And to me, it's that combination of storytelling and connecting people together. And I just think it has to kind of be, you know, it just kind of has to, there has to be a champion, somebody that's willing to start getting folks together. But when you do, it'll shape itself.
It clicks.
Yeah.
Well, that's been my experience is when people start talking about their Fresno State experience, their eyes light up.
Yeah.
They get excited. They'll tell you about, you know, either how they found their passion for what they want to do or how they met the person they're married to or, you know, what this campus meant to them. And for many who went all the way through and received their doctorate here, you know, received all of their education from Fresno State. And then there are others who are here for one portion of it, but still Fresno State and the way that it has that deep heart connection with its students. And that comes from the way our faculties and our faculty members inspire students by teaching them, by the way our administrative support is for all of the different ways that students need to be supported in order to be successful. It's a family. And, you know, when I tell people it's a, you know, Fresno State Bulldog family, when you come onto this campus, there is an embracing of you as a student. I hope that you've been able to attend some of the Welcome Week events that we've had, like Fres Wow. They had Safari with Student Affairs.
Traditions Day, where we served ice cream to the students.
So there are all these great opportunities for a student to, you know, especially if they're isolated or they're the only one in their family who first in their family to attend and they don't know what the college experience really is like. we can take them in and immediately make them feel part of something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. And the faster you can do that with a student, I think the more meaningful it is, and it really contributes to their ability to be successful here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're invested. Mm-hmm. They see it as their campus.
That's right.
And then after they spend the time here and they graduate, you know, alums always have positive things to say. Even when we've had, we've interviewed people who were here during turbulent times on this campus, they loved it. They loved Fresno State. And so mm-hmm. I think that we have so many positive things happening on our campus right mm-hmm. now with Discover E and, you know, all of the different programs and that are going on, that it's the future is so bright mm-hmm. for our campus and for our students. And there's an excitement when you walk across the campus, there's an energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I was thinking as you were talking about that belonging, you know, students feeling mm-hmm. like they belong. Provost Zalesny and Dr. Castro talk about that all the time, this mm-hmm. sense of belonging, and you just described it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all these activities and things that we're doing focused on our kids so that they get involved. And when you get involved in something, you feel like you belong.
Right.
Right. So it takes them to step up and be willing to participate. But how can you not? There's right. so many great things that are going on.
Well, we're almost out of time. Thank you again for coming in. We really appreciate you spending this time with us and introducing you to the community. I know that many people knew you through PBS, and I'm glad that we're able to show them your connection to our campus and how excited you are about being part of our team.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure. Thank you, First Lady, and thank you, Julie.
Well, thanks again to our very special guest, Fresno State Vice President for University Advancement, Paula Castadio. And of course, my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Ladies Focus on KFSR. First Ladies Focus is brought to you in part by Educational Employees Credit Union, EECU, smarter banking since 1934. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit KFSR.org.